Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Nethery.
This is Little D in the house. Welcome back to Understanding the Law with local attorney Melvin Hastings. How are you, Melvin?
Just fine. How about you?
I'm doing good. It's been an okay day. It's been hot as Hades out there. I've been pumping that air conditioner like crazy, riding around in that car all day.
It is summertime again.
Yes, it is.
It kind of cools off a little bit, and then we've definitely got summertime again.
So, how was your day?
I just been a little busy.
Yeah, you've been in and out of court today?
I was in court, yeah. I was in court, then got out, and then, I think I was done with the courthouse then trying to go to the office and finish up what I needed to do over there, so.
You've been a little under the weather?
Nah. Just busy. Just got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I'm glad you're all well and good, and wife is good, and kids are good, and school's going good.
Everything's going good, we guess.
Good.
We'll find out here in what? How long kids have been in school? 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
Yeah, so. Got a few more weeks before we find out how they do, I guess, on their progress reports.
I'm going to do a shout-out to Josh O'Neill. I invited him in. He did not show up tonight. I'm going to drag him in here.
He may just show up. Who knows?
He may pop in.
Me and him was on a case together today.
I'll ask you.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's make it fun.
So, up in circuit court, I guess you can call it domestic relations court, divorce court, or whatever else. So that case is involving either original divorces. Seem like these today, most of them involved petitions to modify. So what happens then? Probably every single case involved children. You can modify alimony stuff, but usually that doesn't happen that much. So probably every case today was involving children. So somebody had filed. One of the parents had filed to get custody, change custody, to do something about child support, do something about visitation type of a deal. So that's the case me and Josh had.
You have a big caseload today?
No. I mean, I did that and then went down and did a little small claims case and Judge Turner's courtroom and then went over and handled a misdemeanor court was in Judge Cheney's today. He had quite a few in there.
Do you like it that usually, because I know, you know me, I've been around you a long time, and you are from the third floor to the second floor like a running banshee.
My mom happened to be up her day. It was kind of funny. I seen her in the courthouse day, didn't expect to see her, but she said the same thing, and I was like, we have these days where you try to juggle between two or three, four courts. I mean, sometimes I've even had them down in probate court. So you try to go down there and do maybe a probate hearing. It could be a name change, adoption. It could be an estate hearing or something like that. Maybe it's scheduled at 10 or 9:30. You got dockets at 8:30 sometimes. You got dockets at 9. So you're trying to juggle them. The challenge gets to be is when you've got 8:30 in Coleman, then you tell in Jefferson County, I'll be there by 10, or Winston County, I'll be there by 10, and then 1:15, you got a hearing over in ARAB, in Gunnersville, or something like that. I don't know what's the most, I think I have been to four different counties
in one day. Bless your heart.
It's tough, yeah. It's kind of tough to do it, but most of the time, all the judges understand. They're usually pretty, if you just call them, give them a heads up, they'll say, hey, just call the other side, and tell them instead of being here at 9 to come in at 10:30 or 11 or something, and sometimes these things don't get done as soon as we think they will, and then I'm having to call the judge back or have my sister call the judge back and say, hey, look, it's going to be 30 more minutes or whatever. So they start getting impatient then when they had to wait more.
So last week I stumped you on a question. Did you happen to look it up? Because I did.
No.
New birth certificate.
With adults. I think the answer is still no. I think the answer is still no.
Miss Bruner told me.
She told us, yeah, still no. I figured it was probably still no. That you would have to, only thing they do birth certificate, I guess, is change last names and change, put a father on there for paternity cases.
Right. But it will be a new birth certificate.
Yeah.
So the state of Alabama, state of whatever that you're in, will issue a new birth certificate.
A new birth certificate on there, yep.
So security number stays the same, but name changes.
Name changes, yeah.
So the name would change on the Social Security card also by backing it up with the birth certificate. That's what she told me.
Yep.
And she actually put it in my comments, which I really liked, and I was very glad that she tuned in. She's highly intelligent. You know, I love her to pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's always just been a stand-up kind of gal, and she just straight out said, "Hey, Melvin." And she was telling me, like, on the feed.
Yeah.
So when I went back and watched the video again, I could see where she answered the question. Yeah. And I thought, okay, I'm going to tell him. So.
Yeah, when we dance around a lot of stuff, I think I have to, and I have people come in, and man, like in any given day, you get somebody want to talk to you about maybe rent or talking to you about getting sued here. Then someone wants to talk to you about child custody, and you got somebody that's got busted for a DUI, and somebody's got a criminal case, and someone's talking in about doing the deed. So you have to get your mindset.
Give me your office number. What's your office number, Melvin?
256-736-2230.
If you need law services provided in Coleman or out of Coleman, Melvin is licensed in the state of Alabama. Give him a call at 256-736-2230. Again, we have a call-in line here on Live 95.5 Understanding the Law with Melvin Hastings. If you have any law question you would like to answer or have answered, give us a call at 256-737-9505, and he will address your question to the best of his ability.
Yes.
So tell me about... this former Speaker of the House that I've been seeing all this stuff about.
Mike Hubbard, yes. So he was convicted when? Maybe a couple of years ago or last year, maybe the beginning of last year. I can't remember when it was, but he was convicted of 12 different counts of ethics violations, essentially ethics violations, saying he used his office for personal gain, used his being a Speaker of the House for personal gain by maybe having lobbyists pay him money or donate to his campaign or do different things so that he could get bills passed in their favor. So the trial court judge sentenced him to 4 years in prison on it. He appealed the convictions, which he's entitled to. Everybody's entitled to appeal your convictions. And during this time, he's an exception. Most time when you file an appeal, you don't get an appeal bond. It just don't happen. You go serve your time in prison, hope you get it overturned and get out. He's been out of prison for 4 years. He's been out of prison for a couple years, waiting on the decision by the Court of Criminal Appeals. So the Court of Criminal Appeals, I think it was a 154-page document. I haven't read it. I'm not going to read it. But they came back and ruled that one of the convictions should be thrown out because there is a question about it. I can't remember. So they threw it out, but they upheld the other 11 convictions. So technically, he's convicted and he should go to jail. Now then, what he's going to do, if he hadn't already done, what he's going to do, they will file a motion to reconsider. I don't know that it's required. I can't remember. One court it is. One is either the Court of Criminal Appeals or Civil Appeals. One of them requires you to file a reconsideration. I think that's the Court of Civil Appeals. I don't think the Court of Criminal Appeals don't. But he'll have 14 more days to file a motion to reconsider. The Court of Criminal Appeals, and what you do is you say, all right, you ruled this way. You said this, blank, 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 blank. But this is what the law says. This is what the United States Supreme Court says. This is what you've ruled in the past. This is what Court of Criminal Appeals in Georgia rules. The Court of Criminal Appeals in New York rules. This is what, whatever. They'll come up with some laws and some different things, and they'll say, consider this. We want you to consider this and change your ruling. So what'll happen then? That's going to be a really big document. I mean, when they did the appeal. Remember, it's not a new trial. It's just a brief. It's just all paperwork, documents that sent down to the Court of Criminal Appeals, which is five justices that look at it. So they will have a major brief citing all these different laws all the way across the United States and how it applies and how these different courts has ruled, hoping to persuade the Court of Criminal Appeals to come back and change their decision and throw out all the convictions or at least some more of them. So if the court of, that's a motion to reconsider. So when they do, once that's done, the Court of Criminal Appeals is going to issue a new ruling. How long that's going to be? It's going to be months. He's more than likely it's going to be months. He's going to still be out on bond for a while. If they come back and throw out all the convictions, then the state will take it to Supreme Court more than likely. They may not. Or if they come back and rule that no, the convictions stand, or maybe half of them stand, no matter what, if he's still convicted of just one of them, he still has to serve his sentence. So his next step is to take it to the Alabama Supreme Court, which he may bypass this 14-day, this motion to reconsider, but he'll file something that's called a petition for writ of certiorari, which is a writ of review of the Alabama Supreme Court, and say, Alabama Supreme Court, we want you to review this Court of Criminal Appeals opinion and see what happens. So here's the big question. What is going to happen? The trial judge, the judge that tried his case in Lee County down in Auburn, has got to make a decision sometime soon. I mean, he could technically come back and say, right now, say, well, the Court of Criminal Appeals has ruled that your conviction stand, therefore you go serve your sentence. He can revoke his bond and make him go serve his sentence tomorrow. Or he can allow him to stay on bond throughout the rest of this process. I'd be kind of interested to see what happens.
How much do you think his restitution was?
I don't know. It should be tons of money. I can't remember. It will be in there.
I'm just saying, that's a long report to have to read, 550 pages.
Well, it's 150 pages.
150 pages.
It's 100. So what happens in this Court of Criminal Appeals opinion, probably half of it, 70 pages of it, is going to be just a reiteration of all the facts. It's going to recite all the facts.
I see.
Of who testified and how it all came out. Then there's going to be a few pages of law. And then they're going to go through it one, you know, he contends that this, contends on that, whatever else. And I'm sure, you know, here's something interesting about his case and about what one of the laws that I just read, I think they've just passed, or something that's coming up about ethics. If I'm not mistaken, he got to use his campaign money for his defense. And I may be totally wrong. But I am pretty sure that he got to use his money, because that was an issue at one time. The money that he had, that he raised being a campaigning, he got to use that money to pay his lawyers. Because that's definitely an issue. So the question is now, does he still get to use that money? You know, and Hubbard made a lot of money anyway. I mean, he owned the network, Auburn Network, and he's a big businessman, so he had a lot of money anyway. But the amount of money that he's spending on this stuff is unbelievable. Because I mean, you're talking about going to prison for 4 years.
But now, when he served, he didn't serve in population, did he? He was probably isolated.
No. He's not in prison.
He's never done a day in prison. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to understand that correctly.
Yeah. He went, turned himself in, and walked. Right. He went, turned himself in when he was charged and bonded right out.
But now, if you have an official that is convicted and serves prison time, we're not saying that he is or is not, they are isolated, are they not?
They, more than likely, they will be, yeah. I'm sure they'll be.
Because that would be quite dangerous for him to be out in population.
Well, I mean, it could be. It could be, depending on some different things that he's done. Here's the other issue. His case is kind of fascinating because, you know, I'm just blunt. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Me and you would not be treated like this.
No,
me and you
would not
be sitting in prison. I'd be sitting down. Well,
I'd be in population.
I would be. If this was me, I'd been at Kilby, and I'd probably be up Limestone, or they'd probably just send me way down south somewhere. but I would be in prison, hoping to get my convictions overturned.
Right.
And everybody else in Alabama. But now this is kind of a unique case. I understand it is a unique case in that it's ethics violations or whatever else. But he's not the first one. Larry Langford, Richard Scrutia, he really wasn't a public official, but there's other, most of them Birmingham mayors that are in prison serving time from these same type of cases. So in a way, I say it's different, but it may not be that different. But we would be sitting in jail.
Oh, absolutely.
We wouldn't have the freedom of being out on bond, letting this thing play out.
And
but now, in the end, this thing may play out in his favor.
It may
It may play out, and the Court of Criminal Appeals, Alabama Supreme Court, or somebody may come back and say, hey, you know what? He's right. The issue with his case is this. They're trying to define the ethics laws. This is what's really funny, that he passed. The ethics laws that he made such a big deal about when the Republicans took over the legislature in Montgomery. He was elected Speaker of the House, and he says, we're going to pass these tough laws, and we're going to pass this stuff that's going to make, you know, hold public officials accountable and everything else. And that's kind of the irony of all this. These laws that he's passed is what he's fighting now, saying they're unconstitutional.
But has he violated them laws?
The 12 members of that jury that heard his case says absolutely he did.
Holy,
I know, that's the irony of it, because
you
know, some of the evidence in his trial came out and says when he was talking to Governor Bob Riley, like, oh my gosh, these laws that I passed, we passed, whatever else, are really getting to be a hindrance, or are really affecting me, and blah blah, and all this.
But at the time he passed them,
it was something that sounded good, and we passed these laws, and we're making things tougher. But these same laws have come back to bite him in the butt. It's got him a 4-year prison sentence, and now his lawyers are having a fight and saying, "Look, the legislature didn't really define this good." So they come back and saying, "Look, you know, the legislature, Mike Hubbard being Speaker of the House." When they passed these laws, didn't really do a good job at it, because it doesn't define that. They're saying these laws are unconstitutional now. The same laws that
he's
passed.
Persecuted by the laws that he allowed to be passed.
That he championed.
Wow.
I remember it. Yeah, that's what's the irony in it. So, he's challenging it. But so he gets a 4-year sentence to go serve in prison. So here's the next question. That judge can say, I gave you a 4-year sentence to serve, and that judge can, this is right, that judge can come back, but I'm going to order you to serve it on community corrections. Ain't that something? So in the end, someone in that type of position and stature can still not ever go to prison. Even though they've been sentenced to prison, they can serve it in community corrections.
Well, you know, I had read.
I don't think, and I may be wrong, I don't think the judge can split it now, because the 30 days is run. I don't think the judge can come back and say, all right, I know I sentenced you to 4 years. I'm going to make you serve 3 months of it. I'm going to make you serve 6 months of it. I don't think they can do it, because the 30 days is run. But that judge can still come back and say, well, I know I made you do 4 years. I know I sentenced you to 4 years, but you're going to serve it in community corrections instead of going to prison on it. So it's an interesting case to see what happens.
And community corrections would apply in what way, Mike?
It is house arrest. It's what people call house arrest.
Okay,
a lot of people around talks about house arrest. Hey, can you get me on house arrest, or can you get me on prison diversion or something? They got a bunch of different names. Community corrections, each county has community corrections. I think almost every circuit probably has community corrections. And you have community corrections officers, and they're the ones that kind of do the house arrest. It is probation. It's a lot tougher. We can talk about
that. Yeah, we're going to go to break. This is Little D with Understanding the Law with local attorney Melvin Haston. We will be right back in just a moment.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to invite you to join the band. The band was started back in 2005 and currently has around 60 members. We range in age from 18 to 88 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. The band's season begins after Labor Day and ends in late May. We take summers off. We rehearse on Monday nights from 6:30 till 8:30 in the Coleman Middle School band room. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 10th. Hope to see you then.
I read a blog today from a runner who said he noticed the difference when he smiled and nodded and gave thumbs up to drivers who passed him while he was running. He said the difference was significant. When he expressed a little acknowledgement, he could sense it being sent back. I think it might be time to realize that this observation is true in every circumstance, whether it be relationships, customer service, leadership, or parenting. When we acknowledge and show respect and kindness for others, it comes back. It comes back in a lot of different ways, sometimes in thanks, sometimes in improved behavior, but most of the time in kindness return. It's a wonderful circle that should never be broken. What we have learned is simple. Thoughtfulness given leads to thoughtfulness returned. Kindness shared leads to kindness received. Give it a try. It'll come back to you, and it'll make your world a little kinder. I'm Ed Horrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Nethery.
Welcome back. This is Little D, Danielle, with Understanding the Law with local attorney Melvin Hastings. We're glad to be here tonight and bring you a little bit of law. To follow up on our question that I have for Melvin is I would like to you to explain to the public what parole and diversion and community
corrections
is.
First of all, let me look up something because you got me interested in something. Let me see how much.
I know, I always like stump him and then we like discuss brain goes 900 to nothing. So this is how it goes. And that's just because, you know, I'm going to ask the questions outside the box because that makes it more interesting, in my opinion anyway. Sure. I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Just so you know, you can start sending your law questions into my email box if you would like. My email address is dlc41@gmail.com. If you have any law question, I will check my email before I come in the studio, and we will have Melvin answer your question. You do not have to put your name on it, and I will not mention any names on the radio for your protection. So just send me your email at dlc41@gmail.com. And if you have a question you would like to ask Melvin now, you may give us a call here at the studio at 256-737-9505. And we will answer your question to the best of our ability. So
I sure was wanting to find, and I don't see where it is. I was wanting to see a sentencing order, and I don't, order of commitment to jail.
On Hubbard?
Jury verdict, yes. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to see how much.
And this is the former Speaker of the House we're discussing.
Yes.
Who is?
I'm actually looking at his circuit court case, and I was wanting to see, I looked to see what the order was for restitution, because that is.
Yeah, because the restitution really perks my interest, because a man in his position having the businessman that he is and having the money that he does and the campaign money, like you said, that he was able to use for lawyer services.
So he got bonded out. His sentence in order, he got sentenced to jail.
How much was his bond?
$160,000. Wow. $160,000. But I'm sure it is a property bond. I'm sure it's a property bond. But I was wanting to find out how much restitution, but I couldn't find the order. But anyway, so let's answer the question. So parole, probation and parole is administered by the probation office. That is the state agency, is the Alabama State Board of Pardon and Paroles. They're the ones. So when you get paroled, that means you're in prison and you get let out early. So you're out on parole. You're still a prisoner until you EOS, which means end of sentence, or they call it something else. I'll think of it in a minute. But when you end your sentence, then you're off of parole. So if you get a life sentence, for instance, I know people that are out of jail or out of prison that have a life sentence for whatever conviction they had, maybe in the 70s or 80s. And they will go to meet their parole officer for the rest of their life. It's crazy. So they will always be on parole. If I got a 20-year sentence, once my end of sentence date comes, which is usually a third or a fourth of your sentence. So if I got a 20-year sentence, usually 6 or 7 years, my end of sentence date, if I get paroled out after serving 5 years, then I'll only go for 2 more years and meet a parole officer. So that is the under the Alabama Board of Pardon and Paroles. Well, each county or each circuit has a probation office, a state probation office. That state probationer office, I think here in Coleman we have 3 or 4 probation officers.
Four,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's four of them. So they do the probation for the felony convictions, the state, because you don't go to state probation unless you have a felony. So these are people that are on, that have felony convictions either by juries or they've pled guilty and they're on probation. And when someone is released from prison, they also supervise them when they're out on parole. So, and they do the parole hearings and stuff like that. So you have state probation, like is in Coleman, is down in the basement. Now, on second floor, we have community corrections, and inside of community corrections, they do the county probation. So if you're a misdemeanor or a traffic ticket, maybe some kind of violation or whatever else, a DUI, which I think is still a misdemeanor, but maybe like a traffic violation like reckless endangerment. No, that's still reckless driving would be a good one, mm-hmm. I guess, example.
That's 25 miles over the speed limit, by
like
the way.
Something like that, yes. So if you got reckless driving and you get a 30-day sentence and you're put on probation, whatever else, then you report to county probation. Most of the time, the reason someone is reporting to county probation for misdemeanors is because they owe money. Or they're a repeat offender. If they just constantly get in trouble over and over and over and over again, and maybe it's domestic violence, maybe it's drug use or something like that, though, even if it's your first time charged, they may make you meet up with the county probation officer. A lot of times, if you ask them, they're going to tell you what they do is they monitor people and make sure they pay their money.
Now,
pay
let's
their
go
fines
into diversion.
And court calls.
Mm-hmm. Diversion so, is coinciding.
So out of that community corrections office, which does county probation here in Coleman, they also run the community corrections program, which means they supervise the people that are out on diversion. So prison diversion, what that means is that – you are a felon, you usually have more than one felony.
Mm-hmm.
You have to qualify, which means that you can't have a violent crime in your past. So, for instance, I just had a person that didn't qualify earlier this year that the only reason they didn't qualify, it's been like 15 or 20 years since they've been in trouble. They got trouble at a younger age, but they had a prior assault. They had a felony assault where they got in a fight with somebody and somebody was injured. They pled guilty to it. So that assault from 15 or 20 years ago precluded them or prohibited them from being a candidate in the diversion.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to work out some other deal for them. But if you're not a sex offender, don't have a violent crime, there's a few others. I think if you're charged with, if you got trafficking conviction, like trafficking drugs, some really serious felonies, you can get in prison in the diversion program. And we have two or three, I think, officers that supervise, three of them that supervise them. So them are people that are prisoners, because you're not on probation. You're actually a prisoner, but you don't go to prison. You serve your prison time with Coleman County, which means you have curfews. You have times you have to be at home. You have to keep a job. You have to do...
Pass a drug test.
Pass all your drug tests. Mm-hmm. Anytime they can come to your house, anytime they want to, and give you a drug test. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. 3 o'clock in the morning, come to your house, give you a drug test. They can search your vehicle anytime. They can search your person anytime. They can go through your house anytime they want to, because you are a state prisoner.
Right.
Also, if you leave the state of Alabama as a prisoner, you escape. If you leave the diversion and they can't find you after a certain period of time, I don't know that there's a statute that says it has to be a certain period of time, but if they can't find you, I don't know how long they give people, 30 days, 60 days, whatever else, they can, because you're a prisoner, they can go, you can go get you an escape charge. So if you get an escape charge, well, guess what? That precludes you from later on if you get in trouble from getting on diversion.
So they revoke the diversion automatically.
Yeah. Well, what
happened? Through the prison system? The prison sentence? There we go, Danielle.
Well, when the prison diversion community corrections program, I've been doing this 15 years, and I remember when it really kind of got going, and that's been probably around 12, 15 years ago. At that time, when people was putting on diversion, it's probably been around long that, but when people were put on diversion at that time, if you messed up, you had a diversion officer, you just went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hearings. There's no explanations. Your diversion officer was your warden. And if you did what's wrong, I remember George McMahon, and he's passed away, but George, a good old guy, and he was the diversion officer for a long time in Coleman. And then Sandra Castaneda was. And if you messed up, they just go pick you up and take you to prison. He didn't have to get warrants there. I just go pick you up and go. But now,
with the prison system so full.
I don't know why they started doing it. Maybe the Supreme Court, the Alabama Supreme Court, or the Court of Criminal Appeals come back and said, hey, these people are technically treated like probations, and if you're going to revoke them, you have to give them hearings. I don't know why it started, but all I know is that it started. One day, literally, this is how it happened. One day, people were on diversion, and if you messed up, you just went to prison, period. I mean, literally, so George, I go back to Mr. McMahon. You go back to George McMahon. He came to my house, gave me a drug test. I felt it. He'd say, all right, get in the car. He'd lock you up, probably put you in jail overnight, and then the next day he would take you down to Kilby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You didn't have no say-sos, no whatever else.
Do you think it's because it's so populated?
That's probably, they may have done it. But it went from that one day till literally waking up the next day and going to court, and judge says, oh, we're going to have a hearing. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute now. We actually get a hearing on somebody that's on diversion, and since then they've been doing it. So I don't know if they did that, if the courts did that on their own, or like I said, if maybe there's a ruling from the Court of Criminal Appeals or the Supreme Court of Alabama says, hey, this is due process, these people's entitled to a hearing, you have to start giving them a hearing. I don't know, but something happened. So now it's just like a probation revocation. So if I'm on diversion, I'm treated just like a probationer. What happens is, if you get in trouble, the diversion officer will put you in jail, get a warrant on you, and then he'll set a hearing date. He'll file something with the judge, and then the judge will set a hearing date. And then you stay locked up. 99.9% of them stay locked up. Every once in a while, they may be released if it's something really small. But they'll stay locked up. And then, you know, as soon as they have, next time they have probation revocation docket, they'll have diversion termination docket. I mean, they'll call cases then too. So you're treated the same way. I mean, and it's the same thing. And what happens in these probation revocations and these diversion terminations, the judge will say, if you've been showed the charges, because everybody's entitled to know what the charge was, so it'll be in writing what they say that you did wrong, and that, you know, and all of them say, yes, my attorney's been over with me, I understand it, and they say, do you admit these charges or do you deny them? So if you admit them, then the judge allows you to give them an explanation. And like I said, in Coleman, these are the circuit judges. In most of the counties, it's the circuit judges. So it would be Judge Nicholas or Judge Williams. They'll say, all right, what is your explanation? Why did you do this? What happened? You know, or whatever else. And you get an opportunity to explain. I'll speak up for them. They'll speak up for themselves or whatever else. And then the judge will say, all right, I'm gonna terminate you from diversion program. Go serve your sentence. So it means you're done. Mm-hmm. You go take a seat, and then you get on the bus to Kilby or Tutwiler if you're a female. Sometimes the judge will sanction them. Sometimes the judge will release them based on what they said.
Sometimes the judge will allow them to fulfill short term sentences.
They'll make them. They can let them serve time in the county. Mm-hmm. They can send them to prison for 45 days, 90 days, whatever else. I've had a few of them. A lot of these, everything really, I say everything, most of the things revolve around drugs. So most of these terminations are people that's tested positive for drugs or done something like that. So you go in there and you argue, you say, judge, look, they got a problem, got an addiction problem. They've been on drugs all their life. They've done this, done that. Here's an opportunity. They've never had an opportunity to go through a drug rehab program. We have a drug rehab program here that says they'll take them. You know, it is 100% the judge's discretion.
Yes.
100%.
In the end, when that person comes back from rehab, they do have the opportunity to reapply for diversion.
So the judge, in some of the cases, will say, all right, I'm going to give you this opportunity. One opportunity, you go to rehab, but still, you know, and they'll let them know, and they'll remind them, and it's the truth. When you're on diversion, totally different from probation.
Exactly.
When you're on diversion, you are a state inmate. So if you go to rehab, and people would be surprised how many. If I'm in jail and I'm on drugs, I'm ready to go to rehab because mm-hmm. that's my ticket out of jail. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people that goes to rehab as a ticket out of jail. Quite a few of them that goes to rehab, and it does them good because they realize they got a problem. But I'm gonna tell you, a bunch of them just a ticket out of jail. They get to rehab. They get out there and take chances, get in trouble, sneaking mm-hmm. drugs in, or getting mm-hmm. some drugs, whatever else. They just leave. They just think, well, I'm just gonna leave and do whatever else. The problem is when you leave at rehab and you don't report back to, you know, if you left the rehab and came back to the diversion officer, you would just go back to jail, and you would probably, and then you'd go in front of the judge, and then they would sentence you to go serve your sentence, and it'd all be over with.
The reason being that is because when you come off diversion and you're an addict and you're locked back up and you go before the judge, then he's ordering you to rehab, so there's an order in place. You're violating that order.
Yeah. But here's the booger. Here's where they really get in trouble. When you leave that rehab, most of them made a mistake, which got them into rehab. Now they're going to make mistake number two by leaving. They're going to make mistake number three by not reporting and hiding out. Then they're an escapee. So what happens then? You get charged with escape. Most of the time, my experience around here, the diversion officer just goes find you. They'll get you. You're going to mm-hmm. get caught. And then they'll just send you to prison. Bring you back to court. Just look, come on, I gave you an opportunity. You blew it. You go serve your sentence. Most of the time, that's it. But they can, and there have been a few instances where they'll go get a complaint filed against you for escape. And then you're an escapee. You're going to go serve your sentence, and you've got this escape charge. Now then, why is that big? Well, when you go, I got my 5-year sentence, let's say, that I serve on diversion messed up, so I'm going to go serve my 5 years, which more than likely means in a year and a half or so or less, I'm going to get out. I'm going to get out of prison. the problem is I'm probably not going to get paroled out of prison. Probably not, because the parole board is going to look and say, oh, you got an escape charge pending in Coleman mm-hmm. County, so you can just serve your sentence here.
That's right.
And if you plead guilty to that escape charge, which is a lot of times what they do before they go to prison, that means you'll have served most of your time, and you're not going to get paroled out. So they just they make bad decisions, and it just goes bam, 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 and it gets worse. And we're going to talk about the Ohio mom.
Mm-hmm. The Ohio mom is hot topic.
It's making a lot of bad decisions.
We're going to address it when we come back. This is Little D with Understanding the Law with local attorney Melvin Haston. We'll be right back in just a moment.
When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Coleman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Coleman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure no area or family is left unassisted. But to do this, the Coleman County VOAD needs your help. Whether you're an individual, faith-based group, civic organization, or business, your Coleman County VOAD needs your help. To learn how you can be a part of the Coleman County VOAD, call the Coleman County EMA at 739-5410, 739-5410. Email ColemanCountyVOAD@gmail.com or search Coleman County VOAD on Facebook. Your Coleman County VOAD is Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Nethery.
Little D in the house tonight with local attorney Melvin Haston. Welcome back to Understanding the Law. Melvin and I have been discussing the former Speaker of the House. I have stumped him again tonight on restitution. He is in a search. So, before we go back to my cupboard, I want to talk about this Ohio mom. I want to talk about the desperation that she feels like that she's under to take her kids.
Yeah, apparently, I had just read the story. There's a mom that is from Ohio that had got word, I guess, that her kids were about to be taken from her. I don't know, and here's some very important things. So I don't know if the DHR is involved or maybe an ex-husband or dad or whatever else, but somehow this woman has felt like, uh-oh, I'm fixing to lose my kids. So she has probably acted out of desperation, got them kids and taken off, and they think she's going to Florida. Now, here is what is very, very important. Yeah, she's acting out of desperation, and that's what's scary. That's something that's just my personal opinion about the Amber Alerts. They're good. I know they are. They're important. Maybe they act on them too fast, because when you got, I've been doing this for 16 years, and I see people act desperate all the time. They do desperate, what is it, desperate situations or desperate, it is cause for desperate actions. I can't remember what the saying is. Mm-hmm. But this woman, she is not thinking right. She is naturally trying to protect what she thinks is her children. And who knows what lengths she will go to protect them. So that's what scares me about when they start posting these things and Amber Alerts and everybody's looking. Hey, you may have somebody out there wants to be a hero and go save these kids and pull a gun, and then guns get shot, you know, gets fired, and it goes crazy. I would personally think the better way to handle this, because she is going to get caught. No doubt.
Well, the kids are going to be identified.
And they are going to find these kids. They're going to find this woman. Now, whether they do it today, tomorrow, or next week, or next month, they're going to find her, because you got sheriff's offices everywhere. You've got FBI, you got the U.S. Marshals. Everybody's involved in this right now. You know, different bureaus of investigation states. So this is a multi-state effort. They're going to find her.
But Melvin, I'm a mom, and you're a dad.
Yeah.
And if it come to protecting my children, I know that the frantic part is that she could have a wreck and kill all of them.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You know, that's worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But then, when somebody's coming after you in that way, and you feel like you're protecting your children and you're the only thing that they've got.
Yeah.
Honestly, sitting here, I can tell you that I understand.
Oh, yeah. It's tough, because, and like I said, and how I say she's going to get caught is that she didn't think this stuff out. I promise. She didn't have time to think this out. You don't plan it. But so for instance, if she left today, tonight, what are they going to do? They're going to just drive all night. At some point, tonight, tomorrow, whatever else, they got to make stops.
Catch up.
Mm-hmm. And when they make stops, that's where people make mistakes. So, for instance, and they've already got all the information they need on her. So, she runs out of cash. I got to go to this ATM and get some money.
Boom.
I got to use this card for this. I got to use this card to get gas. Got to buy them some food. I got to do something. Mm-hmm. So, as soon as that card's used, they know where she's at. And they can get her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not going to be able to swap cars, but, you know, they say in here, and who really knows the facts, because there's always two sides of the story, they say that her boyfriend's armed and dangerous, and he very well may be, but then he may not. He may be a harmless guy. But they're desperate. They know they're in trouble, and they're driving in an automobile. So what does he need to do, what does he think he needs to do? He's probably going to take a gunpoint, if he is dangerous, and take somebody else's vehicle and carjack. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. There's so much in here, whereas if they just kept it quiet, find her, don't put out these Amber Alerts, they will catch them. But regardless, hopefully everybody will be returned safe and everything will be fine. But here's the biggest deal. There's something that's called the Parental Kidnapping Protection Act, which says, they passed this years and years ago, because what was happening is, if there's an Alabama court that issued an order, and let's just talk about this one, an Ohio court entered an order, Florida could sit there and say, I'm not going to issue that order. I don't care about that order. Mm-hmm. That's Ohio. Mm-hmm. These people's here. We're going to protect these people in Florida. But now they've made federal law that all these states have pretty well, they all agree to take it, because what happens is the government says, you're going to pass this law, and you're going to accept this law and abide by this law, we're going to cut you funding out. So all of them says, okay, you got us. You got the money. You print the money. We'll agree to
it. So if they arrest her in the state of Florida, they have to extradite her to Ohio.
Yes, they will. Mm-hmm. They will. But see, she is, okay, I say, and this is key, I say she is facing parental kidnapping acts, federal parental kidnapping charges. But she may not, because here's the deal. There has to be a custody order. I believe, and I may be wrong, that she has to know that there's a custody order for it to be interference with child custody or parental kidnapping, whatever else. So you understand how this case, this is kind of interesting, and when if you're interested in law, how this plays out. Let's say that she's in Ohio, she's got an ex-husband.
And she's sole custodian.
And she's got custody of the kids. Let's say she's got custody of the kids. And her husband just told her, her ex-husband told her, look, I got the judges, they fix to sign an order, I'm getting custody of them kids tomorrow. She gets panicky and she leaves.
On hearsay.
On hearsay. There's no order or whatever else. But guess what? She's not parental kidnapping right now.
Right.
You know, and all of this is going on. Maybe a goose chase and maybe an overreaction when they don't have. And I know that people say, oh, they wouldn't do that. Bull crap.
Yes,
it happens.
Mm-hmm.
They overreact. Courts sometimes, well, not the courts do. I'll admit there's some courts in here that kind of gets in there and starts trying to do stuff they shouldn't do. But you know, sometimes the franticness of the situation. Oh my God, these kids are kidnapped by their mom. They're with their armed and dangerous guy. These people is going to get killed. Everybody's armed and dangerous. This is a dire situation. And it's just cause we don't know exactly what's happening in this thing. And so it could be an overreaction. And in the end, this thing could play out to be a whole total overreaction.
But then, if she served with that order
first,
had knowledge of it.
If there's an order, absolutely 100%, if there's an order that she has knowledge of, she is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Now, the question is, if there's an order that she hadn't been served with, then it may not be. Let me give you a good example of things that happens in Alabama. So if you have a spouse or you live with someone, it could be someone in your household, it could be a spouse, a former spouse, one of your children, it could be any type of, I think, a blood relative, you can go get a protection from abuse order. So if somebody is threatening harm to you or somebody's harmed you or whatever else, you can go file a petition in the circuit clerk's office and say, Judge, give me a protection order. Some people still call them restraining orders. Give me a protection order. This person's threatening to kill me or threatening to do this or they've harmed me in the past or whatever. So if you file that petition and the judge signs that order is just a piece of paper. It's not going to protect you. And I tell people that all the time. I say, look, you want a protection order, it's a piece of paper. It ain't going to protect you. You know, it ain't going to stop a bullet. It ain't going to stop a knife. It ain't going to stop a baseball bat or a car coming after you, whatever else. Realize it that you know, it's not a shield for you, but it is a tool for you that if the other side violates that order, it is a crime to violate that order. Mm-hmm. It's a misdemeanor, but it is a crime that you can get put in jail on. And usually, if you violate a protection order, they'll hold you in jail for 24 hours before they let you bond out. But here's the kicker. That person has to be served with it. So if you go get a protection order and the judge has signed it, I don't care if he signed it last week. This person who it's against, let's say it's an ex-spouse and let's say it's a guy, he comes and talks to you, violates it or whatever else. And you say, aha, I got a protection order against you. You violated it. I'm calling the police and you're going to jail.
But he's not been served.
The police will come there to him and you think he's going to go to jail. And they serve him with the order and tell him, get out of there. If he comes back, he's in trouble, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my gosh, why did I even do that?
Well,
because I thought he was supposed to go to jail if he violates it. Well, the key is he has to be served. You have to have knowledge and service of it. So what I'm wondering is with this Ohio stuff and with these federal statutes, there has to be a valid custody order.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be served and have knowledge of it? Hey, let me give you something else that I'm sure has happened in these type of cases. Let's just assume this Ohio mom is taken off to Florida with her kids. Let's assume that she was in Florida, because this stuff happens too. She's got custody of the kids in Florida. All right, dad goes up here to Ohio and files a case where he gets custody of the kids in Ohio. But mom's already got them in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So what does she do? She goes to Ohio and get her kids to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's jumping up and down saying, she kidnapped my kids. I got this custody order. And let's assume this little small town Ohio, big town Ohio, don't matter. They all make mistakes. they're sitting there coming after this mom that's got legal custody of these kids. So that's why I said there's always two sides to this story. And there may be a lot more to it than this right here. You just got to hope that everything calms down, nobody overreacts, the kids are safe, mom's safe, and then things play out. But it is desperate situations that cause desperate actions from people.
Well, thank you so much for bringing us Understanding the Law tonight with local attorney Melvin Hastings. This is Little D. I will be out on Thursday for the Big D Radio Show. Christopher Greer is filling in. And I will be out of town for a little while. So I will be back next Tuesday for Understanding the Law. And please don't forget to email me. And have a great night. We'll see you back next Tuesday.
When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Cullman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Cullman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure